If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye. With me as always, Jack Manuel. And Jack, we're talking a Nets loss, 144-122 to the Bucks. How are we doing?
I hope Jalen Wilson got the game ball.
Yeah, and without any fight from Giannis Antetokounmpo. But this was a weird game. You know, the Nets kind of scheduled their own loss with this one. You know, rested a ton of guys going into this game. You know, Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie, Nick Claxton. Also, you know, Mikal Bridges, Cam Thomas really only played in the first half of this game. And and Dennis Smith Jr. only played three quarters. Just a really strange strategy for the Nets. We're going to jump into that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But Jack, what direction do you want to jump into first?
The direction and outlook seemed like the Nets just don't care about winning this game at all. And I thought that was interesting, is I guess one way to put it, because the Nets had a genuine shot at winning this game. The Bucks were awful. The Nets were relentless in their paint attack. Dennis Smith Jr. and Daron Sharp, whenever they got into the paint, were scoring. Same with Trenton Watford. It just seems to me that this was a winnable game. And I've heard plenty of, you know, credible arguments to the other about the Nets playing, you know, an extended amount of games. I think it's like 7 in 10 days or something like that before they head overseas to Paris for that game against the Cavs. It's 5 in 7 days so far. All those different machinations make sense. But I think from my perspective, and I'm not going to get as heated as I have been about whether this is a Jacques Vaughn decision, an organization decision, short marks, whoever else it might be, I just think that, like, you take each game as it comes. And if you're in with the shot, like, is 5 or 6 extra minutes here or there going to matter? Like, I honestly don't think so. And especially if you have a chance of getting the win and the Nets are hanging around 500 and now they're below 500 after this loss, I don't think it was the right decision. I know it was great to see the young guys get their extended runs, but I personally would have gone with a different direction. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I think in the second half, you know, with the game, what was it at halftime, you know, within single digits, you know, maybe you deviate from your plan a little bit, especially in a situation like Cam Thomas. You know, he's a 22-year-old player, you know, didn't play a ton of minutes in Detroit. You know, let him cook.
23 minutes to be precise as well. Yeah. He didn't even play 30 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, you want to see him develop, and I think it would have been a great kind of opportunity to develop his skills, especially as kind of a primary ball handler and, you know, a facilitator, something that he definitely needs to improve on. And I think it's kind of a wasted opportunity there. Even Dayron Sharpe in this game only played, you know, 16 and a half minutes, and obviously some of that's due to foul trouble in the first half, but like you mentioned, you know, was playing well in this game. Dennis Smith Jr., then him not finishing in the fourth quarter after playing really, really well, having, you know, easily his best game of the season. It's just like, I understand the plan of like Mikal Bridges. You know, he wants to keep his streak, but you really want to get him some rest. And, you know, this is kind of the middle ground. But for, you know, Cam Thomas, Dayron Sharpe, Dennis Smith Jr., those type of guys, you know, it doesn't really make sense. Even Royce O'Neal, if you're going to play Royce O'Neal any minutes in this game, at least play him 20. You know, it's just like, it was just kind of strange. You know, if you're going to punt the game, fully punt it instead of like half punt it and then kind of tease us in a way.
Yeah, it just seemed to me like what we've said about the Nets in the preseason about what is this direction of this team? Are they going to try and have their cake and eat it too? Are they going to blow it up, build it? Are they going to go for a superstar? It just feels like to me at times, I don't think that the organization overall is rudderless, but I think that this dipping your toe in and fingering and thinking like, okay, well, cool. Jalen Wilson is clearly a very good, and is going to be a very good NBA player. We can continue playing him, but at the expense, and then like playing Amani Brooks, like extended minutes at the expense of like Cam Thomas. It's just like I struggle. Like Jacques Vaughn has found a way to justify some of the dumbest of decisions over the past couple of games. Justifying this, whether it's him or Sean Marks or whatever, I just really don't get. I'm not like heated because I didn't expect the Nets to win this game, but the Nets could have won this game. Like it's sort of like a more maybe level-headed approach compared to the Denver Nuggets sort of game that we recapped as well. So yeah, it's two games against two of the better teams in the league where the Nets were in with a real shot and could have, should have, maybe, I don't know. Like how many times out of 10 you replay this game and Cam Thomas plays an extra 10 minutes, maybe the Nets don't win this game. But I think they have a better shot at it because Cam Thomas in the minutes that he did play was playing pretty bloody well and was getting like putting a lot of pressure on the Bucks defense. I just, again, this is maybe me thinking too one-sided. I'm trying to see both sides of it. I just think two things can be true at once. I think you can play the young guys. You can play Noah Clowney extended minutes. You can play Jalen Wilson extended minutes. But then also play Cam Thomas and Dennis Smith Jr. and Darren Sharp when it matters. And when the game is on the line and you build a little bit of a buffer. So I just think that the two things aren't mutually exclusive. Am I right or am I wrong? Is that true, Nick? Am I seeing this the wrong way?
Yeah, I think you can play... You know, you could get both things because, you know, De'Ron Sharp and Cam Thomas are both really young. Even Dennis Smith Jr., not that old. I think also it's just strange in the way they handled this game in the sense of like it felt almost like a preseason game or a game at the end of the season that doesn't matter because you already locked up your seating. You know, it's just strange to manage a game this way in the regular season when you're not an elite team that can just afford to take nights off, especially when it's within range. And I get it. You know, the schedule wasn't great coming off of back-to-back and all those different things. But again, there probably was a case for them to win this game and have a real chance, you know, if they played some of their better players in the second half of this game. But I guess we could move on to the positives of this one. I think, you know, there was a lot of flashes from all the young guys that played in this game.
I think we start with Jalen Wilson, Nick, yeah. and the fact that he had 11
seven
free throws.
Offensive rebounds.
Yeah, like you go with the boards, I'll go with the free throws because both of those are like the free throw numbers are historic. Like I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere Nets PR tweeting out the fact that no other rookie this year has had 10 or more free throws, yep. And Jalen Wilson had 11 of them. He had seven offensive rebounds out of his 10. Like, Jalen Wilson is making DFS and or Royce, both one or the other ones, expendable because he did this against a Milwaukee Bucks team that is, you know, going to be one of the teams there at the end of the race when it comes to winning the championship. So, man, it was a joy to watch. You know, I think we've said in our game recaps, individual together, that these little glimpses that we're getting from him are going to be a great foundation for him to finally put it all together when he gets an opportunity. And he did it. Full credit to Jalen Wilson tonight. Pick 51 and playing like a goddamn lottery pick tonight.
Yeah, I put out a tweet on December 5th, you know, talking about Jalen Wilson after I think he had a 32-point game in the G League and how it'd be easier to move on from Royce and Dorian Finney-Smith. Got a lot of pushback, people saying, you know, G League doesn't matter. Jalen Wilson doesn't, you know, isn't ready. I think this game kind of proves that he's ready. And not to say he's going to be a consistent, you know, bench contributor, but he checks boxes and he has transferable skills. You know, it's not like he's doing anything ridiculous out there. A lot of it is just great energy hustle and utilizing the tools he does have. You know, that's a good frame, good strength, you know, obviously a four-year player in college, so a little bit more polished and just really hustles and does all the things that you want, you know, a role player to do. And it's just, he just checks a lot of boxes. Like he's pretty good at a lot of different things. And then his motor is elite. So, you know, you put all that together, you're going to have a great role player. And obviously it's not a guarantee he's great the entire season, but I think he's worth developing and, you know, kind of investing some time in the rest of the season and really trying to see what he can be, you know, moving on from this year. And not that I expect him to be an all-star or anything like that, but into the degree of how good of role players is a guy that's coming off the bench, you know, is he a sixth or seventh man, or is he more of a 10th, or is he even potentially, you know, a fill-in starter at times. So I think it's really intriguing when you have a guy that just plays that hard, works that hard. You know, I don't want to say the sky's the limit, but he can definitely, you know, jump over some ceilings that he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, when I'm like really intense and watching the game pretty in depth, I take some notes on the individual players. And my Google Doc right now is full of Jalen Wilson players in terms of his offensive rebounding, him getting free throws on being in the right position at the right times, getting and ones on the likes of Brook Lopez, getting in transition, baseline drives. Like, this was a great game for me. The only thing that was missing, and this is me being probably way too greedy, is that three ball. And that's why, for me to like look at, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the holidays, Nick, and I'm trying to be a bit more level-headed and look at things from both sides and all the angles possible. But I think having DFS and or Royce is going to be also good for Jalen Wilson's development, because I think he needs to develop that three ball for him to be like, cool, let's get rid of DFS and Royce. Like, I agree with what you're saying, and I said it literally like 20 seconds ago, whatever it was, that I think those guys are expendable as Jalen Wilson continues to develop. But this game tonight was an aberration in the way that the Nets play offensively. Like, they were relentless in their paint attack and didn't hit any threes at all, because you got DSJ, De'Ron Sharpe, Jalen Wilson leading the offense. So, like, the Nets are 3-point shooting is a premium. If Jalen Wilson can be not even a premium, but like decent enough, then that's when you go, oh, okay. And that's where maybe a couple more games for Jalen Wilson across this stretch where the schedule is a little bit cluttered and you see that a little bit more from him, you go, oh, okay, well, look, I'm confident in his mechanics. I think he's going to be a good average 3-point shooter at the very least. It's going to be that difference between like Dorian Finney-Smith, who's been bloody elite this year, Royce O'Neal, who's hit and miss. So maybe it's like you keep DFS for the defense, for the 3-point shooting, and Royce O'Neal is a little bit more expendable despite his, you know, obvious playmaking chops and the things that he provides. But it's a good problem to have. And Jalen Wilson, this is a game that we will remember, and he will remember as the game that's like, hey, I'm an NBA player, I've just shown it.
Yeah, and 11 games in the G League this year, 2.2 out of 4.7 from three at 46%. And to give you the exact totals, 24 out of 52 from three. So solid start. That's a good number in the G League. I think we saw him shoot well in summer league, and I think it's been mentioned in different interviews. You know, he understands that's a skill that he's going to need kind of as an NBA player. So probably need to get a bigger sample size than that to see what's going on there. But overall, everything else, even defensively, you know, you like the willingness to kind of bang and contest with Giannis and just, you know, be that type of player down there. So really happy with his play and looking like a steal at where the Nets got him in the draft. Not to say, again, not that he's going to be an all-star, but he's going to probably be a solid NBA player, is what you take in any second round pick.
Oh, yeah, you don't need all-stars when it comes to pick 51. Like, then they're not going to be Nikola Jokic. But in saying that, Nick, someone who didn't have any trouble with the three ball today was De'Ron Sharpe.
Yeah, I honestly, that three ball did look smooth. That was probably like
wet as hell, man. That was like
smoothest
was like
of his career, because he's taken like a couple.
Yeah, and look, I think a lot of people are having the discussion now, Plax versus De'Ron. I don't think now is the time for us to totally have it. I think we need a larger sample size, because there's plenty of ticks that you give to De'Ron Sharpe. He is like the best rebounder in the league. Like, I think Nets Muse on Twitter has like posted that's like him and Clint Capella, and he's above those guys. Like, he is an incredible rebounder on both ends of the floor. He's really improving defensively. Like, that block on Giannis Antetokounmpo was nice. And that's something that I've always had my reservations about him with, and he's proven me wrong, and I'm happy to eat my words about, is his rim protection. And like, that's where Clax has been, you know, one of the best over the past year and a half. But De'Ron Sharpe is showing, like, if you're blocking Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the best finishers at the rim in the NBA, then that's something to take note of. Also, his screening is just ridiculous. Like, his physicality is enormous and provides the Nets something that they don't have in many other players. And I think, you know, his chemistry with Dennis Smith Jr., like, it's Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire-esque. Like, those guys just have a synergy and a feel that is just something else. So, yeah, another game for De'Ron Sharpe where I'm starting to believe it a little bit, but the thing that I don't believe fully is similar to what, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. has sort of worked his way through to being, like, a really credible high-end NBA center, if not, you know, real defensive player of the year sort of guy, is the fouling. That's where De'Ron Sharpe is the only little question mark. And I'm not putting it as an X, because I think he's proven me wrong in a lot of aspects.
It's correctable. A lot of it is just definitely literal mistakes. Like the third foul he had in this game on Giannis, he goes back and watches the tape. He'll understand that it was just a dumb foul. And in that situation, understanding where he's at in foul trouble, getting two in the first quarter, and then you're picking up, your third early in the third on a night where you have an opportunity to essentially potentially play, big minutes. Obviously he didn't. I think that's kind of the frustrating stuff. But like you said, defensively, I think losing weight and getting, a little thinner allowed him to be springier. I think he's getting up a little bit quicker on those blocks, which usually is the most important thing. And I think probably one of the low key, most underrated developments of his game is just finishing layups. This is a guy that last year was blocked what felt like every single game and would have, 3 of 9 from the field, 2 of 6, whatever it is. You look at tonight, 5 of 6, some contested looks in there, got to the free throw line, a better understanding of, when to show the ball, when to pump fake, how to use his body and finish at different angles. And I think, again, he has limitations, but if he can check boxes and do all these other things at a solid level, that'll help make up for all those other things and allow, his talent as a rebounder and his physicality to kind of shine. It's about being passable in other areas. He doesn't have to be great in everything, just passable so he can showcase, what he's really good at.
Yeah, one more thing I'll say is that him as an offensive hub at the elbow, he looks more comfortable at that than Nick Claxton. The handoffs, the passing, I think Claxton's improved there. I don't think the difference is drastic.
I think Clax is better off the dribble from the DHOs, but I think Sharp is a better passer. And I think that was kind of a thing about him coming out of college. There was some passing chops. And even as a rookie, I think he's made a couple okay, that's a next level pass.
Yeah, I really like his passing chops. And that's just a nice little wrinkle to have to your game. And look, I think we should get to his pick and roll partner tonight for large parts, Nick. Dennis Smith Jr., 30 minutes, 7 of 17 from the field. Didn't hit any of his 3 balls. Didn't expect that, but had 8 dimes, 7 boards for his 14 points. People are calling to sell out Spencer Dinwiddie and start Dennis Smith Jr. Now, that might be a bit rash. I'm not saying I don't disagree. I'm not saying I agree, but his relentless, aggressive driving and dishing down low is just it just provides so much to the Nets offense. And he's obviously, an incredibly physical and houndy defensive player as well. DSJ, man, it feels like to me I'm needing to sign all those apology forms that they've got out there on Twitter, whether it's Darren Sharp, Dennis Smith Jr., whoever else it is. But yeah, the mentality that this guy has and the confidence that he probably garnered from tonight's performance. If Dennis Smith Jr. played 35 minutes and played those minutes in when it really did matter, the Nets would have had a real shot at winning this game. He was one of the best players out there on the court.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned, just getting downhill and living in the paint. In this game, it felt like every possession he was pushing the pace and getting downhill, but also making good decisions. Only 2 turnovers in this game, and you look back to the Detroit game yesterday, there was a couple bad shots he took. There were some bad passes. There was just a lot of bad decisions. So it's nice to see him kind of bounce back and just showcase that ability and just really look like a point guard and look at a solid NBA player. And this is obviously his most productive game as a Net. And it's going to be interesting to see how his role kind of continues to develop with his team. I think the hardest thing that really prevent Dennis Smith Jr. from becoming a starter is just no 3-point shot. I think that's really hard to have, guys that aren't great 3-point shooters, especially catch and shoot in this current NBA. So it's a little easier to take advantage of second units without, great spacing.
No, that's completely fair. Should we, who should we move on to next, Nick?
We get Jalen Wills. We did Daron Sharp, Dennis Smith Jr. I like what I saw from Noah Clowney. I think he started to kind of showcase, what we talked a little bit about Summer League. Summer League was not great for him, but it was easy to see how some of his skills would translate better in the actual NBA with an actual NBA point guard to set him up. He's not a guy that's going to create for himself. I thought in this game, he had a nice feel kind of finding those openings, catching the drop-off passes and just finishing. And I think you also see his length, not only defensively, but on the boards. You saw him contesting with Giannis, got a couple of tip outs out there. And really, he just needs to add more to his frame. This is a guy when drafted was one of the youngest, second youngest in the draft. He just got to add size. And I think you see the vision with him and what he can be. He's a guy that I think I was a little bit higher on than a lot of Nets Twitter over the summer. A lot of people were, upset with the pick after Summer League, but he was always going to be a project. And I think he's developing a little bit quicker than even probably the Nets anticipated.
Yeah, he's been good in the G League as well. Sean Marks just knows how to draft those centers, man. Like, yeah. He just like...
It helps when you were an NBA center yourself. He wasn't very good, but he has, you know, the experience.
And yeah, the understanding of what is needed to be like at least a quality role player at that position. You know, Nick Claxton, De'Ron Sharp, Noah Clowney now. Like, these are all guys that are going to be playing NBA basketball for a very, very long time. And we saw that from Noah Clowney tonight. I think I always was similar to you, Nick, that I thought he'd be a better NBA player than he would be in like the summer league, because the summer league just is a lot of the time it's just guys gunning, and you know, Cam Thomas winning the MVP is emblematic of that.
I mean,
that.
We saw Jared Allen at times looked pretty bad in summer league, and then he turned out to be a pretty good NBA player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Noah Clowney's hands is something that impressed me tonight. You know, I think you've mentioned about De'Ron Sharp, Nick Claxton, Jared Allen in the past, that those guys like just don't have sticky enough hands. And as a center, like Dennis Smith Jr. was throwing some rockets at him, and he was just like grabbing him one grab, not like fumbling it at all, and just finishing straight away. So that's something that I think is a skill for a big man. And I think he's already got that. As you alluded to, I think it's almost like it was good that he's thrown into the fire against Giannis Antetokounmpo, because then you know, okay, this is the peak level of physicality that you're going to have to deal with, even though like a moth would blow Giannis Antetokounmpo over sometimes. But Noah Clowney getting that experience in this sort of game is going to hold him in good stead. And he was not shy for the moment at all. I thought he played really well. And I agree.
Yeah, I'm happy to see kind of how it plays out for him the rest of the year. Obviously, potential trade of Nick Claxton at the deadline or whatever happens with the rest of the roster, there could be an opportunity, or obviously injuries pop up too. So some good stuff from him. Who do you want to jump to next?
I trended Watford, Nick, because like if there was a way to parlay or bet on him taking floaters and how many he's going to hit, like I'd be a very rich man, because I'm so confident. I'm as confident in that guy's floater as I am in Cam Thomas's drives or in Stephen Curry's threes. Now, obviously I'm being hyperbolic, but yeah, he's just, and I think you lose sight of the fact that Trenton Watford's only 22 as well. Like the age of the guys that were playing tonight, Trenton Watford, 22, Noah Clowney, very, very young, as you alluded to as well, Nick. Like, the depth was on show tonight, and Trenton Watford has been in and out of the lineups. He's had some very positive moments. I'm a bit of a Trenton Watford stan just because I love the uniqueness of his game as a big man, as a playmaker for himself and others. That three ball is something I want to see come around a little bit. His rebounding is good. His defense has been hit and miss at times, but he's a quality NBA player. How long it'll be, you know, for the Nets, hopefully a decent amount of time. He just provides a level of dynamism and versatility, you know, to the offensive end. I just love his game.
Yeah, I think he's a very unique player with his skill set. And it's kind of just like him finding that right fit in the NBA in a winning system and understanding like his role and identity. And obviously, it's been kind of tough for him this season, given it's really been all over the place. You know, some nights it feels like he's playing, you know, back to back, you know, getting a good, decent chunk of minutes. Other nights he's playing short stints. So probably good for him to get out there, showcase what he can do. One thing I really like about him is like, he just eats up a mismatch. You know, when he had gotten Damian Lillard on him, cooked him, Pat Connaughton cooked him, you know, just when the opportunity provides for him to utilize his size and his touch in the paint and kind of post up, it provides, and that's just a little bit of something different on offense, especially with a second unit that at times has had issues.
Yeah, definitely. Should we do like the rest of them collectively, Nick, with Keon Johnson, Amani Brooks?
I'll just do Keon Johnson because that was the first time I think we really got to see him play. Amani Brooks, we've seen in summer league, he's gotten some NBA minutes. Keon Johnson's got some pop, like some major vertical. Like he can really just get up. He's an explosive athlete. Definitely something interesting in terms of his skill set and developing him. You know, if he could polish his 3-point game, he obviously clearly has an ability to drive, has athletic tools to be a defender. You know, not super familiar with his entire game, but another at least intriguing guy in a 2-way contract to see how that moves forward with the Nets. You know, not that he's going to be an NBA player this year, but maybe in a season or two, you could have something there.
Wasn't he in the Suns deal for Kevin Durant, Nick? Or like, didn't we get him from the Suns? I can't remember. I'll have to look that up. Maybe I just saw that on Twitter floating around. But he had like a 3-ball that looked smooth, and then he had a block that looked like effortless on Beauchamp. Like the dude is an athlete. Like I saw somewhere like a 48-inch vert. Like the Nets having that athletic pop, and it feels like to me like what we saw from the Nets G Leaguers and the depth guys in the rotation is what we've been screaming for a lot of the time with our like regular guys is movement, unpredictability, you know, aggression, all the intangible sort of things that, you know, he certainly provided as well tonight. You know, it was a nice little reward for him putting in the hard work, and you know, he was able to impact the game on a few different moments.
Yeah. And it was good stuff and exciting stuff. Obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean anything long-term, but still at least some pot for tonight. And like you said, you know, any other thoughts really on the other guys? You know, I thought only thing with Derek Whitehead, didn't look comfortable, didn't look aggressive, which is not super surprising given his history over the last couple seasons.
Good to see him get his first field goal, that nice little sort of floater. And I do want to shout out that Dennis Smith Jr. Obviously, he basically crucified Brook Lopez on like two occasions. But then that backwards layup finish, yeah. Like I honestly cannot like verbalize like how incredible it was. Like just check out the footage somewhere on Nets Twitter. Type in Dennis Smith Jr. layup or DSJ layup. Like it was like finishing backwards off
no
the glass.
Look.
I'm just like no look. I'm just like, man, this dude must have like aced geometry class and just and then some. Like that finish was wild, and there was plenty of moments like that tonight. You know, Dennis Smith Jr. taking like the charge on Giannis was a lot of fun. So, despite the result, you know, I spoke like there was no such thing as like moral victories in the last pod, but it felt like there was more of that tonight, and you could probably speak about that given that the nature of the rotation, but. Yeah, overall, you look at things with a positive lens. Maybe it's heading into the new year after the holiday season. Everyone's had a little bit of eggnog. Plenty of good moments tonight. Wish that we got the W, but hopefully we just take care of business against those Washington Wizards coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks to lose, but at least there was some excitement with the young guys and some positivity moving forward. And I think just one note in this one, obviously, you've kind of hinted at this, and that's had 70 points in the paint to Milwaukee's 48. Really where they lost this game was at the three-point line. Milwaukee in this one, 23 of 51 from three. The Nets, 7 of 32. You know, just not going to get it done. That's a giant differential. You know, if the Nets hit five or six more threes in this game, it's a close game, and there's another opportunity to win. But, Jack, we'll see what happens on Friday. Always a pleasure. Big thanks, everybody, to listen. Check the buzz on all streaming platforms.